You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Pissarro. Joe, a team that really thought things were about to start turning up. It's about to get its best news of the year in 24 hours or so. Got some really bad news recently. Giancarlo Stanton out apparently for 4 to 6 weeks. Is your understanding that that's pretty reasonable? That's about what they're looking at?
Yeah, Matthew. The best case scenario would probably be 3 weeks. But with the team, not really heading in the direction of playoffs and the urgency to rush anything, it's kind of a way. So I think you err on the side of caution and you try to get him back in a month at the earliest. And it is. It's sad, not just, for an organization, but for a player and for the industry and the fans, that this guy is having a potentially historical type season. And, all of a sudden now he's shelved for at least a month. And, there's a lot of numbers that probably aren't going to be what they could have been had he stayed healthy.
Excuse me. Does this change how they view the deadline? Does this change how they look at the next 4 weeks?
Well, yes. I mean, in a nutshell, yes. I mean, they were kind of right before that. The team kind of had a 10-day window to kind of really, track in the right way. And, they already had people dispatched looking in other organizations for potential trade pieces. So, yeah, I mean, you lose a guy like Stanton, you lose kind of the heart of your team as well. But I think that the moves that they were going to make probably, and what I still think they are going to make, are probably what would have been even if Stanton had stayed healthy and Jose comes in and does what he's doing. Barring them going on like a 10-game winning streak, I think they were tracking towards, moving some of the parts that they don't anticipate being here next year, keeping the core together, because this really was a 15, 16, 17 vision in terms of the core, and I don't think they're ready to break the core up, but to become a buyer, certainly a no. To become a full-fledged seller, a no. But to make moves to move forward, I think that's where they are.
Part of the problem here is that one of the most intriguing guys, I would think, one of the guys that might draw a lot of interest on the market, is not currently able to play. What's the read on Martin Prado?
Yeah, and it's true. And I'm not sure he's going to be back until after the All-Star break. Matthew, that shoulder, he banged it up pretty good, that AC joint. He played catch for the first time yesterday. He's been swinging the bat. He's been fielding, just not testing the arm throwing. And until that's there, he's not on the field. But from what I'm hearing, it's going to really take something to move him away. They got him under contract next year. From what I understand, the third base market is not really looking really it's pretty thin going into the offseason. So, Prado is kind of what they're looking for and hoping to build around. And, they're liking what they're seeing from Derek Dietrich in a spot situation, but aren't ready to turn the reins over to him. And so I anticipate Prado being a Marlin, even if he had stayed healthy, because he's just kind of what they were looking for. They've been wanting to get this guy for several years. And with the Yankees picking up $3 million of his $11 million next year as well, not a real lot of incentive unless there's a real overpay, and I'm not sure who's going to overpay for Martin Prado.
Would Latos and Heron be the most compelling guys that they might move then?
Yeah, in probably that order. I think Latos is priority number one. If they can move him, and they may have to eat some of that, that contract. He is throwing a little bit better of late, and he's obviously in a walk year. So he's the guy, they got young arms. They want to see how they do. So clearing a rotation spot makes a lot of sense for them as well. So, they have been trying, they've been, for at least a couple of weeks, in seeking inquiries and possible matches for Matt Latos. And I think that interest will kind of continue between now and July 31st.
Is Heron potentially a complicated guy to move just because, look, I know he's not going to quit if he gets traded. He doesn't want to go somewhere he doesn't want to go midseason. But at the same time, he is a guy with some pretty clear preferences about where he wants to be. Is he maybe a little more challenging to find a good fit for?
I don't think, for what you're saying, from what I understand, I would be really shocked if a trade was made and he didn't report, you know, that type of thing. Especially, you know, this guy conceivably could be in his last year. You know, he may retire after the year. So, you know, if it's not working out in Miami, is this how he wants to go out, you know, on a team that just kind of being a mentor on the team in the second half that may not be as good as he wants? And I think he would kind of embrace going to a chance to pitch for a contender. From the Marlins standpoint, if there's a good offer out there, I'm sure they would do it. But he's a little more interesting than Latos in the fact that he's a free player in for the Marlins because the Dodgers are paying the $10 million on his contract. So still a little unclear if he were moved, who pays, you know, takes up the remaining. That's kind of an unanswered question right now. But that may factor into it. But I think the Marlins could be, you know, I'm sure they're taking calls on him, and there's a strong chance he could be moved. He's also a guy, Matthew, I think might be an August move if it's not a July move.
It's sort of interesting to think, you know, one team that actually really could use a starting pitcher and supposedly is kicking the tires in the starting pitching market is those very same Los Angeles Dodgers. Would they be interested in a reunion after a brief away time? And I guess the bigger question is, how would that affect, or would it, that financial arrangement?
Yeah, it's real interesting. From what I understand, I would be kind of more shocked if the Dodgers did. I don't know why, but I just don't think there's the fit to go back there. That's just kind of the indications I was getting. Now, obviously, things can change as urgencies come along, but you're absolutely right. That would make a ton of sense, but I just don't think the fit's there. I don't know whether it's a personal thing or just kind of the experience wasn't great for both sides, that type of thing. I'm not sure, but I would be kind of stunned if Latos went back to L.A. And I also think teams like L.A. are going to be looking for Hamels, and
sure,
you know, that's also going to play into play, too. I mean, some of these teams are, you know, a guy like Herron and Latos to some degree, you're going to see what happens with Cueto and Hamels. You know, they're going to be the second-tier type of guys. So, you know, that's why I think that both of those guys could be later this month, right around the deadline. And Cole Hamels obviously is going to, and Johnny Cueto obviously going to kind of swing how the between now and the 31st looks.
Yeah, it's a weird market because some years those might be two of the top three or four starting pitchers in the market, but as you note, this year they are not. To move to the actual 2015 Marlins, Justin Nicolino gets sent down, but I get the impression they liked what they saw. What was their take on what they saw from Nicolino during his brief stint with the big club?
Yeah, absolutely, they did like what they see. And the thing about Nicolino, Matt, I think we might have touched on this before, that he kind of is what he's going to be. There's not a ton of ceiling there. So it's, you know, he's a savvy, you know, good off-speed, you know, or change of speed, heady left-hander who could reach mid-90s but doesn't really live there. And he kind of saw in the second start against the Dodgers, you elevate just a little bit, you could get hit around a little bit harder than maybe in AAA. So it's all about with him patience and perfection and as much technique as he can get those innings. You know, they got to figure a way to get Cozart back in rotation up here. He could stay right now, but, you know, he has the options. They don't really need to rush him. Probably save a little bit of service time in the process, you know, let him go down to AAA, probably spends the whole month there, and they'll see how the rotation sorts out, whether trading reaches a Kohler type of situation as well. But, you know, we just mentioned two guys that could be out of here, and if that's the case, you know, you're going to see Justin Nicolino, you know, in this rotation probably in August all the way to the end until they feel he's reached, you know, an innings limit.
And what do they do with Jared Cosart, who, as of now, as I understand it, is still not officially been reinstated to the rotation?
Correct. Yeah. They got six guys right now in their six guys on their pitching staff for five spots, and they say they're not going for a sixth starter between now and the All-Star break. And that's, I'm saying that, you know, with the addition of Jose Fernandez on Thursday. So yeah, right now it hasn't officially been said who's going to start the Cubs series over the weekend. And unless there is a trade a little more imminent than they're letting on, I think Cozart might again be in the bullpen. It just depends on what they do with Jose Urania. You know, if they want him up here or the same boat as Nicolino, let him go down to AAA, get Cozart here, see what he's got. because, you know, moving forward, this guy, Matthew, in spring training, he was going to be the number two starter until he had his little issues at the end of spring training, including the blister and the other little problem he had. He was going to be number two starter, and he ended up being five only because that's how he came back from the blister and what else.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Joe, and thanks, everybody, for listening to MLB.com Extras.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.